Hello, and welcome to a marvellous lunch break. On today's show, sideburns are back, mustaches are banned as Sabretooth and Logan will battle it out to find out whose nails are the dirtiest. Nobody gets in the way as there's only a handful of characters. Deadpool gets played by two different actors, but only one really gets a word out. And people at X-Men Movie Studios finally run out of t-shirts.
It's the moment we've all been waiting for.
Joining me today, as always, Ms. Marvel herself.
Hello.
Anna Harrison, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
I see that you're poised there with the fingers. Are you ready for your one-minute roundup already?
Yeah.
Great. And at the other side of the table, Agent Martin Carter.
I was in my bit.
No, I was just dramatic pausing.
Right. Hi.
I was, you know, last week we did French. This week, the dramatic pause. If you're not going to get a new name, then
did
at
you
least...
do French last week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that.
I went, Agent Martin Carter.
Oh, okay.
See? Good. French.
Lovely.
Hello as well to all our listeners from around the world. Okay. If this is the first time you're tuning in, or if you're back for more, do know there are spoilers in this podcast. If you're listening to us, please remember, review it, subscribe it. You can get more of this in your ears every single week, or fortnightly, sorry.
Yes,
we're fortnightly now.
We're fortnightly now. Also, follow us on our brand new Instagram.
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Two L's.
Two L's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you spell it. That's good. Good that we've got there after a year on the pod.
It's full of sick memes and dank content.
And everyone unsubscribe.
Please don't.
Great. So let's get straight into it. Anna, you've got 1 minute on the clock. For new listeners, very quickly, Anna is going to do a 60-second roundup of X-Men Origins Wolverine. Not one of the other X-Men Origins movie that you may remember. We're going to put a minute on the stopwatch. You're 3 for 3 on this season.
And it's all going to come crashing down.
And you don't look too confident about today.
Well, let's see.
We're about to get in there.
Can you please keep it under a minute? Because that's the cap that I'm allowed to put on Instagram.
Yeah,
so that's why it's a minute. This is great. Are you ready?
Yes.
Deep breath. 3, 2, 1. Go!
1800s flashback. There's patricide, a baby Wolverine discovering his claws, and we learn that Victor, a.k.a. Sabretooth, and Logan are brothers, apparently. Wartime montage. Immortal bros are effing things up throughout history, but Victor's liking it all a bit too much. Captain Stryker recruits the bros into a super sneaky asteroid-hunting mutant squad, but Logan's too much of a nice guy and trades murdering for lumberjacking on a mountaintop with his lady love. Now Victor and his fingernails are knocking off the old squad, and Stryker's come looking for help from Logan. Logan's not interested until Victor snuffs his lady love, and after getting his ass kicked in a bar brawl, Stryker upgrades Logan's claws. But Stryker's only interested in his weapons program, so Logan makes a naked escape and gets taken in by kindly farmers who are promptly murdered. After Flame Your Revenge, Logan battles the blob for info on Stryker's evil island and mutant capturing shenanigans. Turns out Victor and Stryker are in cahoots, and Logan is pissed. Logan hitches a ride to the evil island, and oh snap, turns out Logan's lady love is alive and working for Stryker, who is building a crazy text message controlled super mutant out of Will Wason's body, aka Deadpool. Ugh. Logan's heartbroken, but it's time for endgame battle. Logan and Victor team up to take down Deadpool. They cut off his head, and all is well, except Logan's lady stayed behind to get fatally injured, and their walk into the sunset is interrupted by Stryker's...
No.
Oh, no.
You didn't.
Oh, I knew it. Oh,
stop it.
Oh, no.
Let's get rid of that. Oh, my God. Right, well.
Damn it. I was really close.
You know, you weren't going to go unbeaten, let's be real.
I'm sorry, Anna. I was enjoying it, though.
I mean, you reminded me of the whole blob bit of this movie. I haven't written any notes about that whole bit because I'm not really sure I paid attention to it.
You guys, this one was so hard to write. It was
so
hard to
watch.
I mean, because the thing is, so I think I've said before, the way I write them is, like, I kind of write lines as I'm watching it, like, things that stuck out to me, and then I kind of cut it off. This one, I came to the end, and I hadn't written anything. Like, I had to go back and sort of stick stuff back in and be like, oh, yeah, then this happened.
It's kind of a much of a muchness, the plot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, they're not a huge amount happens.
No.
But then lots happen.
Well,
like,
let's not get onto it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Do I get to finish? Like, can I say my last 2 lines? No. Okay,
fine. I thought you had finished. What happens after that?
Well,
I feel like it's like a punishment. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you get to say it anyway in normal speed, then what's
fine.
The...
But I will
finish it off.
You can read it on our Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
the rest is on the Insta.
Yeah. So lately, I've been I stick the text up on Martin, who's managing our Insta account. We'll stick the text up. If you guys can pull it off, record it, send it to me, I'll be properly shamed. But yeah, check out the last two lines that didn't make it on there.
And we'll send you something.
Yeah. Are you keeping a story of them?
So yeah, they're all in a story, so you can pop along. There's an episode guide in the stories as well, so if you want to listen to these in time for us talking about them, you can do that too.
So watch along with us.
Yeah.
Watch Great. Along with us.
There's also a countdown to Endgame in there, a little sticker.
Nice.
Because this season, right, season two, last season we reviewed all of the Marvel movies in the run-up to Avengers Infinity War. This season we're reviewing all of the X-Men movies in the run-up to X-Men The Dark Phoenix. We can't escape the fact that there are like three, maybe four Marvel movies coming out in that period, and we will be honouring our previous season commitments to review pretty much every Marvel movie that's made.
Heck yeah,
unless
would.
It's like Venom or something. So we'll be doing specials throughout this season where we're going to go watch. Of course, we're going to watch those movies. And we're going to talk about them here. So if you're fans of season one and you still want to listen to us talk about the more regular MCU, stay subscribed. We're coming back for you. If you also want to listen to X-Men, great. I'm rediscovering these movies.
Yeah.
But I'm also rediscovering
for the
rest of this garlic bread.
Oh,
I'll
right.
tell you what. This is a
great segue, Dan.
This is a pretty good garlic bread supplied by a local pizza chain. I've got some leftover vegetarian bolognese. Bolognese and sauce is vegan, but the pasta, I'm guessing the dry pasta, there's probably egg in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And we've got this nice little garlic bread. What do you have? Olive oil and rosemary on it?
Yeah.
Yep.
So the place is called Prove, and they've got some great vegan pizza options.
Whoa! We paid full price for this.
I'm not trying to support local business. You're
They're
right.
They're on
you're
Deliveroo.
Right.
I don't know how local they are.
No, you're right. We shouldn't be giving it away for free.
If any pizzeria is local to Leeds, want to give us any food, anyone
we'll
wants to
give
us any food.
What I really like about this one is the. Can see like the charcoalness on the base.
Yeah, it feels very authentic, doesn't it? Yeah.
You can tell that this either they've put some black marker pen on there, or this was like a proper, you know, wood-fired oven pizza.
Well, I inhaled mine because I'm a middle child and I cannot have food set out in front of me because I just want to gorge on all of it.
At least Dan didn't starve us this time.
Usually
he doesn't let us eat, even start eating until we're like well into the pod.
Come on, we're like five minutes in now.
Well, but apparently for Wolverine, they started filming before they'd finished the script.
I think it's
apt that we are
somewhat
in the middle of dinner. You messed up your lines.
Yeah.
Dan probably hasn't finished writing the notes for this episode. You know, we're living in the spirit of Wolverine.
So true.
Half finished makes no sense. Wait, didn't we say that about The Last Stand?
Yeah, but me and Martin came out. We were supporters of that movie in the end, I don't think.
Okay.
But, yeah. Go on, Dan. Okay.
So, I need a towel. I've got to get my emergency towel out. There is bolognese sauce going everywhere. I think I'm going to sack off the bolognese. I'm going to stick just to the garlic bread now. That's what we're doing. It's more dry. Do you know what I mean? It's a dry food.
And that's what people come to our podcast for.
Delicious, right? It's not just marvellous, but it's also the lunch break.
It's also Marvel good.
Very Marvel good.
Lunch break. The lunch is like one of the key four words of our podcast. A being one of them.
Oh, don't do each one. Come on, crack on.
the longer this takes, the more we have to think about X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Right. I know I've made a few sarky comments, but I'm just going to get straight in there and say, aside from the last 10 minutes, I really enjoyed this movie. I'm going to say it again. Aside from the last 10 minutes, I really enjoyed this movie.
I didn't hate this. I have one major question.
Okay. Do you want to ask it now? I mean, we're prolonging the cast
more. Crack on with the cast. I'll make my...
Crack on. It's kick off.
Whatever.
Branding, come on. I've got a catchphrase. I'm trying to establish brand loyalty here. It's kick off with the cast. As with every movie so far, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yes, take your shirt off and have it off all the way through the film.
Liv Schreiber as Sabretooth.
I mean, he did a good job with what he was given. I'm going to go yes.
Danny Huston as Stryker.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know where this came from. Will I Am.
Oh my God. I totally forgot he was in this. It's so funny.
Just Will I Am pops up. Is that Will I Am?
Yeah.
Well, it's Will I Am.
It's kind of like when T.I. was like in Ant-Man. It was like, oh, hey, T.I. But in this one, it was like, Will I Am, get out of here.
And also, Will I Am's playing like an American, like, all-American cowboy.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be like, he'd have a superhero that was like, boop, boop. You know, like electronic-y sort of things. But no, he's got a cowboy hat on.
But he's very much brought that electronic-y branding in, like, the recent years. Do you know? I mean, this is 2000 and what? 2000
no, he was still doing all his bleep, bleep, let the beat rock.
Yeah, was it your founding member of the Black Eyed Peas? Mm. I mean, I've got to say, in general, in the scope of this movie, he didn't come across as, like, a fish out of water actor. No. He did fine.
But it is still Will I Am.
It is still Will I Am, yes.
So we've got Lynn Collins as Silver Fox.
Oh, what? So what is her actual name? Like, what's her first name?
And this brings me on to my major question, which I am going to interject this moment. Where are the women with agency?
Where are the women?
Like, well, I was going to do that, women? But then I was like, well, there's two.
There's two.
There's her and then there's her sister.
Yeah.
Where are the women with agency? Honestly, this is such a...
There's her and her sister.
Yeah.
There's well, like,
I mean, I felt terrible, but like I didn't have her name in my recap once because I didn't know it. Like I did not know what it was.
She's like the thing that's howling at the moon or something? Or?
Oh, we need to talk about that myth when we come to it, but I have some very serious issues with that.
But honestly, this is like, this is the most like lads film, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, like, just from the cast.
I'm just checking IMDb right now, Martin. And can I just say, right, I disagree.
Oh,
there's
really?
Three women in it.
All
right. Right?
Our bad.
Which one?
Who's the third one?
Do they have lines?
Yes. It's the lady in the barn and she brings the tea tray in and says God. It looks very nice on you and then she gets a bullet through her head.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So you get down off of your soapbox, yeah. Right?
There's a doctor as well, but...
It's not really a diverse cast.
No.
In any way.
I mean, it's quite diverse in ethnicity. You've got Will.i.am and you've got kind of Stryker's sidekick is kind of Asian descent.
Yeah, Zero. And actually, I mean, the woman who plays Silver Fox, she is part Cherokee. So I know there were some issues with she kind of plays up a native heritage, and there was some issues of like, oh, she's whitewashing, but she actually does have Cherokee heritage.
Okay.
Who else?
Dominic Monaghan.
Oh, yeah.
Who's that?
Little Hobbit.
Of Lost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bless him with his light bulbs.
out of nowhere, I don't know if anyone in the room sympathizes. I'm looking at you. I think you're going to sympathize me with this.
Okay.
But, oh my God. Out of nowhere, Tim Riggins.
Oh, yeah.
Who's Tim Riggins?
That's Gambit.
Yeah.
Taylor Kitsch. Tim Riggins is from Friday Night Lights. Oh,
and John Carter does Mars. John Carter of Mars.
It's like a big night out. Doing Mars tonight, guys.
We're doing Mars. Sequel, Venus.
Yeah. I love Taylor Kitsch. He's dreamy.
He's not as dreamy in that. We'll get to Gambit. Yeah. Or is now the time to talk about? I'm very confused.
We'll get
to it.
Yeah.
We'll
let's try to inject a little bit more structure than what might have happened in the last
day. Daniel Henney as Agent Zero.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson.
I have so many questions about this. Yeah. I'm so confused.
I mean, let's not lie. He is exactly as he should be in the role and the character of Deadpool as he was given in this movie.
Yeah.
So can't. And like, it was essentially his Deadpool audition video.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Fate is sealed. Let's move on.
Some guy is Scott Summers. Bunch of other people.
Who plays Blob? That he looked familiar to me, but I couldn't place him.
Is that Kevin Durand?
Well, maybe. That name doesn't mean anything.
Awkwardly, everyone's names are not... They've not got their mutant name.
Oh, really? They don't do name / mutant name?
No.
That's annoying.
So it's not the easiest thing to like sift through, really.
Well, I actually met the founder of IMDb a couple of months ago. And he's always very open to suggestions. So I'll just I'll just slide into his DMs.
Let's fire him a message and say, look, you should really display the mutant.
Like, this is mutant equality we're talking about.
Right. This is really important to a large section of fake society.
Yeah.
The blob. Will I?
Can I mention one other member of the cast who I don't think either of you will recognize or remember?
Yeah.
Young Wolverine in the 1800s.
Ah.
He's in bed having a sponge bath or whatever, and then he comes down the stairs and stabs
his dad.
It's revealed that that's his dad. Yeah. That's where he takes his name from. He is. He's called Troy Sivan. So have you heard of Troy Sivan?
Yeah.
So Troy Sivan is now like 21, 22, and is now like a fully fledged pop artist.
Really?
Yeah. So he went from Young Wolverine, he's Australian, went from Young Wolverine, became a YouTuber, and is now on his second album.
Wow.
He's like massive, I mean, he's gay, so he's like a massive like gay pop star. He's been on SNL, he's like performed on there. He's got a song with Ariana Grande on his latest album.
That's amazing.
It's like, and I was watching it with Chris last night, and Chris really likes him. I was like, you know, that's Troye Sivan. He's like, wow, he's definitely had his ears pinned back. but it's like, it's so weird, like, because he's like now like a proper pop star. And I think you should go and listen to him.
Amazing.
He's
very good. I'd
love
to. Yeah. Brilliant. Excellent bit of trivia there.
That is a really good bit of trivia. The other thing that I learned when I was doing the cast research for this was Deadpool, at the end, is played by not Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, which he's like flipping around.
So, no, not like the stunts. So, Ryan Reynolds does all of the non-surgery on Wade Wilson stuff. Everything post-surgery is not Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
Looks completely like him,
yeah.
But it's a guy called Scott Adkins, not Ryan Reynolds. Like, even the bit where it's his face and his mouth's sewn shut, and you're like, oh, it's Ryan Reynolds. Not Ryan Reynolds.
No way.
Yeah,
that's
not
crazy.
Ryan Reynolds. Too expensive to just put makeup on his face. I'm guessing they learnt that from Cyclops.
Yeah.
If we're just showing, like, if we're just showing one we'll facial feature, cover. We'll get a lookalike. But it looks like Scott Adkins does it. From what I've briefly read, it looks like he's a kind of a stunts professional sort of, you know, does that sort of role.
Mm.
But yeah, it's him behind the mouth.
Oh wow.
Yeah. There you go. God, let's just not get onto that. You know, a million places have talked about how terrible Wade Wilson and Deadpool and everything is in this movie. And then I watch it, and this whole opening bit where he's chatty, it's great.
Yeah.
That is Deadpool, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Same. Lift and drop.
Can I clarify some stuff, though? So
yes.
Deadpool in the new Deadpool 1 and 2, there's no... It's not a shared universe, is it?
Oh, it is.
It definitely is.
So Deadpool is very much the X-Men. Have you seen the new Deadpool movies?
I've seen the first one.
Yeah,
but,
so you know, like, Colossus features.
But does
spoilers? Big spoilers here. If you've not seen Deadpool 2, is everyone happy for me to spoil Deadpool 2?
No, I've not seen it.
You don't want me to spoil Deadpool 2, then? Okay, this is answered in Deadpool 2.
Right, okay, that's fine, then. I will go away and watch it. And if you're listening to this and the offer's still on, iTunes are having a £3 movie blast out sale at the moment, and Deadpool was £3.
Oh, might get that.
Okay, I mean, we're not doing Deadpool as part of this,
well,
but maybe
I've
at the end.
I've got to say, after having watched this, maybe not as a part of our season, but like when we, you know, we did a couple specials in between, like watching this has made me.
I think
we
should have put Deadpool in. I know.
We can talk about that off camera. So.
I was going to say we should start right at the top.
No, that's
opening
exactly
scene.
What I was going to say.
You're going to bring us back on track. That's fine. Well, right, opening scene.
Troye Sivan.
The next opening scene.
All right.
the second one. You know, X-Men movies have a lot of opening scenes.
Yeah, they do.
Right? I don't mind that.
Yeah.
No, it's great. They ham it up. It's like, we're not quite ready to show you the movie. Have a little bit. The opening scene where we're going through all the different wars that these guys have been in.
Okay, so...
I'm going to eat some garlic bread.
That, I flipping love that scene. It's so great. And like watching this again and see, I mean, I already was annoyed being like, oh yeah, they're brothers. I forgot about that. That's annoying. But then that montage is so good. Like the transitions are fantastic. Mm. It tells so much in such a short amount of time. Like this whole, you can see Wolverine getting really disillusioned with the war, but you can see the transition of Victor like liking it and getting really like getting his yeah, just this becoming such an intense part of his personality. I thought that bit was fantastic and is hands down my favorite part of the whole movie.
Wow, that's like 15 seconds.
Yeah, upset, like set
not even
up
on
my,
the opening credits.
Yeah, set up my expectations for it.
But you love a montage.
I do love a montage.
But you know what? You know what I kept thinking when I was watching this? I was like, we know that in this movie, to tie it all together, we know that at some point Wolverine has to lose his mind.
Yeah.
Or lose his memory, sorry. But he's been through all of this in, like, you know, he's lived for like 100+ years. Mm. He must be in the new X-Men movies, you know, like knackered. Mm. Do you know what I mean? He must be like, I've been through so much. I can't remember it, but he must feel it in his bones that he's been through so much.
But why? His bones are metal.
But it's just his whole body must just be like, ugh, another.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when you see it, sort of like, have you seen Logan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that. I really like that kind of the remember of like the weight of years that is on Wolverine, and I really like that. I think there is a really interesting story that's being told there as well. Like if you live through all the worst parts of human history, and that can stay like at the forefront of your mind because you experienced it. Like what does that do to a person? You've got to carry that with you, and then every time everything gets really, you know, fucked up again, like when, you know, the really horrible things start happening to mutants, they're being oppressed, and if he still had all his memories, there surely would be a part of Wolverine that'd be like, yeah, I mean, this is just what happened, sort of the same way that Eric, like, brings with him the memory of having survived the Holocaust, like, really weighs on a lot of the decisions he makes, and it's weird that, well, not weird, but it's interesting that Wolverine is kind of relieved of that burden, and it kind of makes him a different type of character, which is interesting.
Do you think if Wolverine remembered everything and the mutant cure from The Last Stand was made available, Ooh. Do you think he would take it?
I think Wolverine would.
I think he would too.
Because I think we've seen so many stories across movies, comic books, everything, where Wolverine just wants, like, done. He just wants to end it. And not necessarily...
He's living quite a normal human life in this film anyway, isn't he?
In this film, yeah. Yeah, I would say this, that's kind of like what he wants. And I have such an issue with the Sabretooth brother thing, but I did like the juxtaposition of you've got two men, similar powers, going through a similar story, and then one goes one way and one goes the other way. And I thought that was really interesting. It could be a huge PTSD look, like, really. You could really explore, live through wars, all of them. What does that do to a person? It makes sense that some would go sadistic and nuts. And a bit of a missed opportunity, I think.
Hmm.
But I love that scene. I love that montage. It's great.
And I think for all of them, it says, you know, when they're going through this movie, and when you especially think forward in the timeline to the X-Men movies, the original trilogy, it must be like when all the mutant uprising sort of stuff starts to happen and then there's the backlash from the government, it must be very like, just another war. They're just going through the motions again. I felt this 3 or 4 or 5 times in my history. We've been through it. World War One, World War Two of it. And now it's just like, just here we are. We're gearing up for another one. It's like, you can see why Sabretooth has got into that mindset of, look, we're just starting another war again. This is what's happening. This is what we've got to do. It's very interesting throughout the movie. And, you know, I thought he's a good character. I thought Sabretooth in the movie, I thought he's a good character.
Mm. Better than the original trilogy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But
I mean,
how do we get from here to there? It's just...
that, like, that's weird that he doesn't lose his memories at any point in the film. Surely X-Men 1, he must have recognized his brother. It was really weird how they didn't try to retcon that in any way.
Really strange. I didn't think about that.
Because he's all big and hairy and...
I mean, obviously not Liv Schreiber.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, he's got long hair and he's... It's just very odd.
Yeah.
It's just very weird.
How does he dies in X2, doesn't he? Am I misremembering?
No,
that?
He doesn't die in X2. He just stops.
Gets blasted away.
He just gets blasted away at the end of X1. Not confirmed dead, but then doesn't reappear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, I guess you could potentially do a whole like, oh, he just descended so deeply into his animal side. That's why it looks like that. And he doesn't remember anything because he chooses not to. But it. That is a weird tie. But I do like what Liv Schreiber did with this role.
Let's move on.
Let's get into the movie, right? Opening scene's pretty cool.
Yep.
Stryker's introduced really early on.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately an asshat.
Yep.
Like, immediately the worst thing going.
Yeah.
And I can see that this Stryker turns into the Stryker that we... You know, it feels really similar. Mm. It feels like a Stryker origin story. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. Whoa, that's the same guy who's an absolute asshole in X2.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about two moments quickly before we get to Stryker?
Boy, yeah, talk about whatever you want.
The bit where Sabretooth picks up that young Vietnamese girl and is about to do something horrible to her. And then the Death by Firing Squad.
Yeah.
Those two are pretty... Dark. Extreme for the first, you know, the first few minutes of a film are when people are just coming in because they're late getting their popcorn.
Yeah.
And they walk into that.
Yeah.
People are like, wow, am I in Apocalypse Now?
Wow. What is this? Just, Apocalypse Now? What?
What is happening on the big screen? I can't do that. Wow.
Just double take. Like, what screen is this?
Hey, check the stubs.
Yeah, is this a Wolvie movie? Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
And, like, this is 2009, so this is after Iron Man.
Yes.
Like, I think it's important to frame this as part of the MCU and the time, because we've seen those movies progress so easily, and X-Men movies have a different, like, a bit of a rocky path, really. And the MCU has this lovely linear progression from going from okay movies to like wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
Those Avengers.
Yo.
Anna has a head in her hands. Is this not what happens in American cinemas? You just go, wow. We look on those sideburn chops.
So where's everyone's mustaches in this movie? Everyone has sideburns. No one has mustaches.
Yeah.
Come on, get a tash. Like, just grow. Just it's this bit here. They've clearly been growing it, but they're just all looking odd walking around without a mustache. Looking stupid. But yeah, movie's really dark going into it. Stryker turns up immediately lame to everyone and makes a great quip. I can't remember whether it's the first scene or a later scene where he's like, I bet my son's life on it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Just,
But like, and obviously we see in X2 that
you see what he did to him.
Yeah.
Does he even have a life? Yeah, Stryker is portrayed as very evil in this movie. Mm. But we also get introduced to like the rest of the, I don't know what to call them.
Scrappy band.
The rest of the gang.
Well, I refer to them as the super sneaky asteroid hunting mutant squad.
Okay, so. why asteroid? Oh, because they're looking for the
Oh,
you good.
Yeah, super sneaky asteroid hunting mutant squad.
Yeah, which turned out to be.
Is there an acronym there? Are you pulling a shield on us?
Sehemisa.
Ah,
Sehemisa.
Sehemisa. But like the guy who's using.
I can tell where this podcast's going. We're not going to talk about the movie. We're just going to make sounds.
Yeah. But the asteroid was the guy's paperweight. So surely there were easier ways to like get it than like going all guns blazing and interrupting their diamond, you know, work.
You could have just walked in and be like, oh, you've forgotten Auntie Sue's birthday. Yeah. Quick, have you got anything that you can wrap up for her? Oh, yeah, I've got this paperweight.
Or just like, I'll give you 200 quid for that paperweight.
Yeah.
Done.
Get Gambit to gamble it.
Yeah.
You want a plane, you can win a paperweight.
Exactly.
Oh, God, I don't even know why Gambit comes into this movie.
Well,
we're not there yet.
Let's talk about Sursum. The gang of Sursum.
Who's your favourite member of
Sursum? I mean, I'm a big fan of a hobbit, so I quite liked him. His power's a bit...
Yeah,
electricity control.
Electricity.
He can... Well, no, but he's also, like, kind of radio waves.
Yeah, well, he seems to just be, like, all tech.
Yeah,
like,
he's just like
anything technical.
I'm getting a message. I'm getting an SMS.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know.
Elevator operator. Like,
oh, yeah. Turn the elevator on. Great.
I mean, Deadpool's quite cool as his skills.
Yeah. I mean, the play. I mean, so, like, yeah. So his power, I guess, is just better.
Speed?
Yeah. Speed, heightened sense.
Precision.
Ninja. Precision. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he's definitely cool. I mean, I like Will.i.am's powers. Like, that, if I could pick a mutant power, I've always wanted to be like teleportation. Like, that's the thing.
Well, we forgot to talk about this.
We did, didn't
in
we?
Last week's episode.
Oh,
so why don't we do it now?
Yeah.
Well, we've got like a bunch more mutants now.
Yeah.
From The Last Stand and from Wolverine Origins that we can think, what power would I really want?
Okay.
Teleportation has always been mine.
I like...
long distance or short distance?
Can I do both?
Well, like, I mean, Nightcrawler can't really go far than he can perceive.
Yeah. Oh. I'd be very happy with short distance. I prefer a long distance to sort of like pop in and out of vacation and things like that. But short distance as well.
But Arnold looks really tan today.
Where have you been?
Oh, yeah, I'd like kitties, I think. Just that kind of being able to not worry about...
Walls.
I mean, it'd make commuting so much quicker.
Yeah, it would.
Just go direct.
Yeah. Don't need house keys.
You don't need house keys. You could like do some spying.
But if you can't see through the wall before you go through it, then we could be into some strange situation.
Yeah, I'd end up on a list.
Yeah.
I also think Mystiques would be a cool one to have. Just, again, for that kind of sleuthy. Like, I think if I was going to be an X-Man, I would be... If the X-Men were in the Avengers, I'd want to be like a Black Widow, but I'd use my X-Men powers for like sleuthy spy stuff.
Nice.
That's where I'd be.
Secret Avengers.
But right. if I had to pick a power from Sirs, I think it would be Deadpool. Just because that's quite cool.
Yeah.
You could do some cool tricks at parties and stuff. Dan?
I mean, Wolverine's is pretty cool. He can heal himself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can now smell things in this
movie. And hear really well through water and everything.
He hasn't really had this power in future movies in his timeline, but...
Does he smell stuff in the other films? I feel like I remember him sniffing.
He was sniffing at Alkali Lake,
yes.
But couldn't sniff out the massive operation that was going on just like 10 feet beneath him.
Nothing here. Nope. But it just smells like water. But...
I would have liked to have seen more of that group interacting with each other. They had like good bants. I liked they didn't really like each other, but they seemed to have like a commonality.
You just wanted a montage.
Yeah, I would have liked another montage.
I think I reckon I could make some use out of Kitty Pryde's powers.
Mm-hmm.
Mystique, that's a really good shout, is Mystique.
Yeah. No more haircuts.
No.
You know what is just comforting? That we're all staying away from the Xavier Jean Grey side of things.
Yeah.
No one wants the mind powers.
No.
They're just so invasive.
Yeah.
Like,
agreed.
And you never have anyone who has like a mind power that doesn't also trouble them.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, look at Scarlet Witch as well in the MCU. Like, mind powers troubling. Yeah. Not great.
No.
So generally, mind powers bad.
Yep.
Cool
fighty powers.
Yeah.
Great.
No one wants Storm's powers.
I wouldn't mind Storm's powers.
You get on.
I wouldn't mind
it.
Being able to affect the weather. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
Pyro, Iceman, you don't want any of them?
Nah.
No. Bit inconvenient.
Bit inconvenient. Bit Toad?
Definitely not. Magneto, I wouldn't say no to.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Being able to control metal.
Yeah.
I feel like Magneto showed that you can really...
You can make something of those powers,
you could make
can't
a
you?
Fortune in construction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
I think I'd end up going something Nightcrawler-y.
Yeah.
Even if it meant you were blue?
Yeah, if you had to have a tail and blue skin, would you still do it?
Nah, I'll do the Mystique one.
Yeah.
Mystique.
Good choice.
Good job.
Yeah, Mystique.
Anyway.
Quick question before we get off of this.
All right.
Beast. What's Beast's power, just that he's big and blue?
Super strength. I mean, super strength, but like stronger, agile, jumpy, like... Freaking Sabretooth power. What is with that sort of like...
That crawly jumpy
that kind
thing.
Of cat jump thing. Makes
crawly
no sense.
Jumpy thing.
Makes no sense for human anatomy whatsoever. Surely it doesn't make you faster. Like if you just kept running forward.
Spoilers. He's a mutant. But no, I think there is a lot to be said as well for regeneration. You know? The only trouble is with that sort of regenerative power is you end up getting into an argument about, well, what happens if the world gets blown up? Are you just floating in space constantly?
Mm.
It seems like, you know, you'd be trapped in a sort of torture thing. So, not a fan.
But I thought that kind of, it's almost like a heist, isn't it, of that in the elevator with the gang. Lots of this film feel just like a straight up, like, action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of guns. A
lot of guns.
There's a lot of, like, explosions. Army things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of straight guys walking away from explosions. it was like, if you took away the powers out of this film, it would probably still run work the sort of as same. A film.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what you mean.
You know, I think we've criticised other X-Men movies for having too much going on, but I feel like this one doesn't have enough going on. There isn't a second storyline that they can alternate things with. So you go immediately from this, like, team-up scene. Mm-hmm. The team goes their separate ways, kind of. That's not established. But then immediately, he's hunting everyone down again.
Yeah.
And it's not... You don't have anything to bridge over to that. You just see a bit of Wolverine being a lumberjack, and then it's like, and now this guy's hunting you down. So they have to get rid of that with, like, this 6 years later sort of thing, where actually... It's like, surely you could have given us something else to, like, keep us interested.
Yeah, some, like, laying the groundwork of what Stryker's up to.
Something there.
Why was Sabretooth hunting them down? I didn't actually understand that. Why did he kill Dominic West? Like, was that just to sort of get Wolverine's attention? Like, why was he killing them?
I think he was killing them to... See, I don't know if this is really explained in the movie, and I don't know, this might be a fan theory or this might just be me making something up. But when I rewatch this, Deadpool at the end is not just Wade Wilson with his mouth shut. He's like a merge.
Yeah, so that's what he's been.
Powers.
Yeah, he's been stealing powers to create
so
this.
So I think they were just zapping out. You know, like when he like zapped Cyclops near the end, and he's like, bag him and tag him.
Yeah,
I think they're just capturing them so that they can siphon their powers.
Yeah,
but
I'm guessing some of them. Yeah, because he did take the power off the teleporty guy once he killed him, didn't he?
Yeah. So I'm guessing they didn't, like, kill them.
Okay.
Or if they did, they killed them and took their bodies and then took their mutant DNA somehow. So I think that was
he's just
the,
getting all mutants. He knows where that one is, so he's going to get him.
Yeah. But I think the point that they made with Wolverine was it's just about getting Wolverine out the way.
Right.
Like, it's not necessarily about him. Because he becomes a nuisance. Because he does... Wolverine cooperates how Stryker wants him to by getting the adamantium skeleton.
For revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then hears when he says, erase his memory.
Yeah.
And that's when Wolverine goes crazy.
Yeah.
Up until that point, he's cooperative. And he's really doing everything that Stryker wanted him to do. He took the bait with his partner being killed. He took the bait that Sabretooth was setting in that sort of thing. And got the skeleton they wanted, but then it's after that that it's not really he needs him again. It's just that he's in the way. That's why he keeps being like, cut his head off.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not saying kill him. They're just saying, cut his head off, and we've got these bullets to erase his memory if it gets to that situation.
Fair enough.
Which I thought was a little bit. I sighed when they introduced those bullets. Because I was like, that's fine if that's the mechanism that you're going to use to erase his memory. I'm not bothered about that. But they introduced it so early on that but late enough that you knew he wouldn't lose his memory. He hadn't lost his memory.
They didn't give that gun to any, like, worthy kind of adversaries.
Like, why didn't Zero get that gun?
Or
like,
why didn't they give it to Deadpool?
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't really, like, a serious threat.
It was just going to be the device that took care of the memory thing at the end, really, which was a shame.
And it was like they planted that seed really, like, midway through.
Yeah.
It was just really weird how they handled that whole, how do we confirm that he's got no memory bit. But they didn't take long to confirm that, there's a lack of T-shirts in this movie.
Oh, yeah. there was some serious naked Hugh Jackman in this film.
Those arms. Oof. Yeah. Hugh Jackman's workout routine should get its own IMDb credit.
I watched the special features.
Oh, really?
Did you see any of Hugh Jackman's?
Oh, it's like a 20-minute video of him working out.
Oh.
Yes.
Like, it shows you him on set, like, getting a pump on before every single scene. Like, he's off there with some dumbbells getting a pump on. And he's like, I wanted to be in the leanest foot. He was like, his input to the movie was like, I wanted them to see my veins popping. He was like, I wanted them to see raw Wolverine power in this movie.
Mission
so he was
accomplished.
Like, he's there, like, there, the directors are there, China, and he's just there, like, ooh, yeah, come on.
And
he's
is really lean. I can't remember which one it is later in the series. Mm. I think it's Days of Future Past, I want to say, where he's, like, really, like, chunky and
thick. Yeah, sort of bulked up a bit.
But this is, like,
He shreds. He does look like he's been like living in the Canadian wilderness. Chopping down trees and honestly,
like
that special feature is great. Go back and watch. It's really, really good. It's really insightful.
But can you, like, how lucky is she that that's the mission she gets assigned? You've got to go live on this beautiful house on a hill in the Rockies with the most beautiful ripped man you'll ever meet in your entire life. And occasionally you'll have to, like, touch him.
Yeah. And tell him ridiculous, untrue mythology stories where he got his name. And also, like, do the writers of this show not know that wolverines aren't wolves? Like, wolverines, they're essentially like really big evil ferrets. Like, they don't howl at the moon. Like, that was the whole cornerstone of the story about, like, oh, they're so lonely and that's why they howl at the moon. They don't.
Oh, I thought they were. I thought that's why he had a silver bullet.
No.
Because that kills werewolves.
No. Wolverines. No. Wolverines.
I don't get simple things. You know, like the simple bits always fly right past me.
No. Wolverines are essentially like big ferrets.
Oh.
Or the weasels. I think they're like the largest of the weasel family. They're gross, by the way. Well, it's not very fair. They're like really scrappy, really like intense things. But like they're not noble wolves and they do not howl at the moon.
So why is Wolverine called Wolverine then?
Because of that stupid story.
Right. What, in the comics?
No. I don't think it's ever really made clear. So he, in the comics, like his first kind of big introduction, he was a part of like Canadian secret intelligence or whatever. He was like a Canadian agent. Yeah. And it was just sort of his name. And he was like, in the comics, he's like a much more compact, like very hairy, very like scrappy type guy. So it works. But
do it for your country. So Canadian. That's a great line.
Yeah, I love that bit.
Wolverine has the best lines.
So good.
I mean, in a movie about him, that's good.
Yeah, that was. But it was really funny when he like comes across that, those like, when he has that argument with like the two guys in the road. I was like, this is Canada. They would not be kicking off that way. You have to assume they're Americans visiting or something. Because otherwise.
And then they get the magic touch. They get the. Yeah. Oh.
The magic touch.
And that's when you first get the glimpse that everything's not as it seems in Camp Girlfriend. So what happens with this story then? Hit me more with this. You really seem bothered about it, Anna.
Well, it was one of those things where around there it was like really starting to go off the rails for me a little bit. It's like, this doesn't make sense. Like, why? Like, why is this happening? Anyway, I'm not gonna pull it apart. But my understanding of that myth is like that's not quite how it goes. And also, I'm just annoyed that they don't seem to know the difference between wolves and wolverines. So no one could bother to like open a zoology book or anything like that before writing this script. Anyway, moving on.
So Silver Fox kind of tells us.
Do you think they had them knocking about in, you know, Stryker's dungeon where he's filling in with adamantium? He's like, what do you want your new name to be? And he's like, Wolverine. Do you think it's like, actually, the traits you've been showing are not of a Wolverine?
It's not that. It's the story when she talks about him howling at the moon. That's the issue. Although I did like that. I mean, surely at some point when Stryker was like, you know, filling out the rec forms to get all the equipment into that lab, he's like, yes, and dog tag stamping equipment as well. It's like, Stryker, when are we going to use that? It's like, well, joke's on you. He needs a new dog tag.
Everyone gets dog tags. Yeah. What were you going to bring us on to? Sorry.
No, I was just going to explain the myth in a bit more detail, but it's essentially an origin story that Wolverine takes his name from, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't feature in the comics or anything like that. So.
I mean, I have no idea about his comic book history. As I've said before, blind spot. Complete blind spot.
Yeah.
But
anyway, she snuffs it.
It's like it's hard to find something to talk about in this movie that isn't just, oh, Wolverine. I mean, I know it's his origin story, but it's just so linear. This happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. So it's like the next bit that happens after that is his partner's killed. Is she his wife or are they?
I think she was his wife. But
yeah.
His partner's killed, but not killed, as we find out later. Which got me this time. I couldn't remember that and I was like writing down like, oh, no visible scarring on body. Like, oh, blood patches, but, you know, poor makeup in this movie.
looking back though, like realizing that she is a mutant and she can control people by touching them, I thought it was really interesting that when Sabretooth, obviously she stops when Sabretooth is in the road blocking her way, and she allows him to come really close up to the car. He puts his nail through the bonnet.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, if it was an actual scary situation, she would have been trying to do that to, like...
get close to him.
To, you know, use her power on him. Mm. But obviously, it was all a ruse.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't matter. Because she's a baddie.
Yeah.
Did she... So, that's an interesting question. Did they set that scene up, or did she hold... grab, did she touch Sabretooth and make him do that sequence of things?
No, it was
no, because you see it in a flashback. You see him pour
blood on her, and
but had she like controlled, because he turns up in a pretty sinister way for that to be it. You know, why did you scrape a car, or was the set
double
it up?
Bluff? It's all double bluff.
Because Logan comes across the car first.
This movie's like lowest common denominator, and it's got me. It's like I'm just looking for like.
Do you need to go watch this again, Dan?
I'm looking for way more depth than exists in this movie. So yeah, the sort of like double jump after this is. You know, Wolverine decides to get revenge, get his skeleton in a quite like difficult scene.
Yeah.
And there was a really interesting bit in the special feature on the DVD actually about this, where it's like we knew that it was going to look different to the scenes that you saw as flashbacks in X-Men 2.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we loved that movie. We loved everything about that movie. But what we wanted to do was just say, well, this is our interpretation of it.
Yeah. I would say it's like wildly different.
No, like I know. I was like, when you say it's your interpretation, actually, that looks pretty damn close.
I remember people in like biohazard suits in X2, and I remember you referencing the champagne clinking, which you didn't get in this one.
Mm.
But vaguely, it's
more or less.
It's the man in the bathtub.
Yeah. Being pumped full of it. And that, you know, that bathtub looked very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
I think the water was warm or cold.
Like in real life, or
no, like in the film world.
I reckon it was warm,
like tepid. Yeah.
So when he pops out, his muscles are popping. I think if it was cold, he might have got more wrinklings.
And probably for the procedure, you'd want it to be warm so his muscles are relaxed. Because if it was cold water, he'd be really tense, and it'd be hard to get those needles in there.
Mm. Yeah,
but we've said before, he gives really good pain face.
Yeah, he does.
And he does it this as well.
And when he explodes out of that bath afterwards, like. That is a good look. Like, that is obviously trailer material, but it looked like that was Wolverine. Like, that was such a Wolverine
and
moment.
And he didn't look that, like, powerful in the whole movie. The rest of it, I thought, was quite, like, I don't know if this is the proper makeup term, but he looked quite, like, powdered. Do you know what I mean?
Matte.
He looked very, like, soft. Mm. His hair was very, like, you know, clean and brushed.
Yeah. He did look very clean the whole time.
But even in the middle of fight scenes, he looked clean. Do you know
and
I mean?
The madder he gets, the bigger his like wings get. Really
I'm so mad right now. But in this scene, it was like, and he's just like dirty and bleeding and hairy and everything. I was like, I was watching this. I was like, I'm ready for like a part two. I love revenge movies.
Yeah.
Revenge movies are so good. So I was ready for this to, like, flip into... It got me again. I was ready for it to flip into, like, this brutal revenge movie where I've had this, like, really false sense of security first act, and then suddenly it's, like, hack, slash, knives, claws, Wolverine, gnawing, fighting. No.
Gnawing.
By the time he gets upstairs, he's dry. Completely dry. Like, he goes from piss wet through, full of adamantium, gets to the top door where he exits before jumping off the waterfall. He's bone dry in that scene. His hair's all fluffed up again. What's going on?
And he doesn't, he doesn't.
Do you know, he had drying powers. He can reheal himself. He can't reheat himself.
Maybe his body's like, this is a risk of slipping.
Yeah.
And he's healing himself against the slipping.
His mutant. His mutant power is not to be risk averse. it's not. Oh, what's your mutant power?
Caution, man.
I mitigate risk. his mutant power is healing, and being wet is not
a weakness.
A weakness. I mean,
He gets wet again pretty fast when he jumps into the waterfall.
Yeah, there's a lot of butt.
And they're so like, naked. Just to confirm, in case you didn't watch the last scene, just to confirm. He's naked. You know. Did you not see his butt? We covered up his butt in the last scene, but in this scene...
Here you go.
No, here's his butt. Cheers. Great. Yeah. I'm just jealous.
I quite liked it as well, when he like runs in front of the truck and he's naked. And the woman is just like, oh my.
There's a naked man in the barn.
There we go. Four women in this movie.
No, you mentioned
we had her already. She got shot.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Three. We're back to three. It's fine. It's fine. You know, we'll get there. So, Logan, not taking any visible damage in this movie.
Yeah.
What happens next? Help me. What happens after this? So, yes. do we go straight into the barn?
Straight into the barn, gets the iconic Wolverine jacket.
Flares.
Yeah, the flares.
They'll get wider the older he gets.
Yeah, they do.
All the way between now and X-Men.
And the only time that like they're acceptable is when he goes back to the 70s. Like, yeah. Like later on. Like,
I'm prepared. It's my time to shine.
But you know, like some people like dads get set in their ways in a particular decade, don't they? Like, he had so many decades to pick from. Why is he not wearing like a ruffled bib? And a large collar, or like a, you know, like a nice jacket with like the tails at the back. I don't know.
Can I just say, I feel like I'm set in this decade. Like, really? Now this is my decade.
Yeah, this is me as well.
Like, oh, you mean now, not the Wolverine?
Black chinos, Converse, and a Oxford cloth shirt.
Yeah,
done.
This is me now.
Like, forever.
Oh yeah, this is all it. Right. This is what's happening. Sorry.
I really liked the barn and the I call them grandparents scene. I really liked the bit where he cuts off the bit of the scene.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
And that was quite fun. But are his claws bigger and longer than they were before? Because surely he'd have chopped off a sink with his wooden ones.
So they're definitely longer. Okay. I think there's been quite a tip. Added to the end of them. Jesus, that was rough CGI, though.
That was the work when he's kind of making the sparks of them in the mirror. Whoa.
That was so bad.
Not good.
So bad.
But that scene reminded me, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it reminded me of something from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know if it was the Avengers, where they maybe go back to Hawkeye's house and they kind of go back to like a barn.
Ultron. There's not quite the fish out of water scene in the Avengers.
No, but that kind of going back
is that
the
Ultron?
Yeah, that sort of vibe.
No, that's definitely Ultron.
Yeah, because they have to lay low, don't they?
Clint's family's house. But I do like that's kind of always a really fun moment in any of the Marvel movies when it's someone like kind of figuring out their powers, like you see a lot in Spider-Man when Tony was, you know, in his garage like working out the kinks of the armor. So I was really happy when they had that beat of Wolverine kind of getting used to these super sharp, super powerful claws, and he comes down with it and he's like, I will pay for it.
Did you find I found the barn scene, it didn't sit well with me,
really?
Not the blowing up, but when the old guy's giving him his son's clothes, and it's like must so hinted at that their son had like passed away or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know it's meant to be sentimental, but I was like, I felt sick. I was like, you know, they're just like dolling him up like he's their son and looking at him, and I was like, something about it just made me feel really uneasy. I was like, oh my god, as if he's like there. In this position, and they're looking at him like, you know, oh, you would look so much like our son, and giving him the clothes, being like, it looks nice.
I think Wolverine needed a moment of vulnerability and tenderness because they needed something to be like regrounding him. Yeah. I think after you've just seen him like with that big display of like extreme aggression, strength and aggression, you needed something to remind the viewer, I think, that of his like softer side.
That he cares about. Yeah. People. I can kind of see what you mean, Dan, about they sort of found this naked man in a barn and they're just adopting him. But I liked him.
But then I thought it was like, you know, it just felt like, is he taking them for a ride? Do you know what I mean? Is he like really using their...
I was
desperate. He literally had nothing.
Yeah. I know.
I like the banter when the old man first comes in and Wolverine's kind of crouched down there, and there's definitely something about Wolverine then he's taking a beat where he's just like, oh man, all that just happened and here I am naked in this barn, and like that's just sort of where he's at the moment. And I like those scenes. I thought they were nice.
Well, it must just be me.
And I was really shocked when she got shot.
Yeah.
I remember that back in the cinema. I remember watching it this time and be like, oh, yeah. She's dead.
Yeah.
She's got a thing in her belly.
Mm. Yeah,
and there's not like any stop then.
No.
Not like a moment of sorrow for anyone. It's just like, next person, pop, pop. Next person, pop, pop.
Yeah.
And there it is, just fucking barn, pop, pop.
Yeah.
Car,
yeah.
Pop. Yeah. Everything.
Him on his motorcycle, taking out helicopter blades.
Everything in sight gets blown up in this scene.
Oh, yeah. The slow motion walk away from the explosion is just... Oh. I can't. Well, I mean, the scene even when the car exploded and he's leaping towards the helicopter, I was like...
But again, it could be an action film. Like, take off his clothes. This could be a Hugh Jackman action film.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jackson
film.
It is very Mission Impossible, isn't it?
Yeah,
that whole bit. Poor Zero. Well, no, he was kind of a jerk, but
he was a massive jerk, and he just killed those old people.
He did just kill those old people.
Why did he say? So when Zero killed the two old people, he was on the radio and he said, Wolverine's in the barn.
Mm.
He's just killed two people.
I think so that there was an audit trail of it being he's gone.
Because it's like a government. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's like, oh, Wolverine's happened to have killed two people. Let's go in. And it's like, yeah, you must go in now. What a bastard, man.
Okay.
Yeah. I just feel bad that, like, why did Stryker give Zero the gun? Like, the gun that could potentially kill him. Like, they know that Wolverine could survive, like, pretty much anything. And he's just like, go take him down with...
But nothing. Something.
Yeah.
Nothing to help.
Normal bullets will do. That's fine. It just whatever action scene, and he escapes on the bike.
If you're mad into that sort of film, I think that'd be like the coolest sequence. But I think we want something different from a superhero.
But then I think really if you're lame. Into that sort of film, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
It's not anything groundbreaking. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a cutting edge action.
If you look at Captain America.
Mm.
In Winter Soldier, he takes down a...
Oh, yeah. He holds that on the roof.
No, not the helicopter. He takes down a plane with a motorbike.
Oh, my God, he does.
When he's trying to escape from the big base.
But he is Captain America.
But he does more Captain America-y things in that scene. Like, he's going to do a run, and then he throws the shield, and it kind of hits the wings of the plane.
Yeah.
Like that, I look back really excited with that. This is just, like, action film.
I found that whole sequence so lame.
Also, can we revisit the bit where Steve Rogers holds the helicopter?
Yeah. Should we just rewatch that?
Oh yeah, I want to so bad now.
There's a great... Not great. There's a terrible bit in this where the helicopter's rolling.
Oh yeah.
Go back and watch that scene. It's clearly there's like a dummy.
I saw it. Yeah, the legs are just like sticking out,
flopping everywhere like a dummy.
It's like the first Quidditch match in Harry Potter where everyone's just like really wobbly CGI.
It's terrible. It's just a dummy flopping around, and then he gets to the thing, and he's like, you know, pressed up against the metal.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, come on.
Yeah.
What's next?
I don't know what's next, as I said.
So then
this
now
movie is just like a chug towards the end.
So then we just get the run through. We get Will I Am, Blob, Gambit. In very quick succession. That's what happens next. So.
Weird.
Well, no, don't we see. What's his chops? Don't we see. No.
Oh, yeah, but intercut with that is Sabretooth taking down Scott Summers, or kidnapping Scott Summers. So that all that is happening at once. Like, Logan meets Will.i.am. They catch up. They have the fight with Blob. That was weird. And then they go get Gambit. Yeah. And Scott Summers getting stolen from detention.
So Gambit was always my favorite X-Men.
Yes.
Always. Remy. And especially in the 90s. Cartoon.
Yeah.
Not too fond of him in this. It might have been the bowler hat. which put me off. And also like the waistcoat bowler hat combo didn't really do it for me. I don't find that man particularly attractive, but I always had a massive crush on Gambit. Per se.
It's Tim Riggins.
No.
You need if you've not watched Friday Night Lights, you go back, you watch Friday Night Lights, you'll get Tim Riggins.
No. But I like it. I really like his powers. He didn't really do a huge amount.
He was just a bit superfluous. Yeah. I mean, but like Remy is quite cocky. I've always thought I didn't hate this iteration, but I know what you mean. Like, it felt like a bit of a wasted opportunity.
I just thought Gambit was quite dark. Like, he's a troubled, damaged soul. Mm. In this, he was a bit... He was like the comic relief almost. I didn't really, yeah. really like that.
And since we have to now apparently make peace with the fact there will never be a Gambit movie with Channing Tatum playing Reaming, which is horrible. Mm. But I don't know, like, and I was really looking forward to the fight scene between Remy and Wolverine, and it looked so much sillier than I remembered. Also, I don't understand, like, Remy kind of pops up at some point, Wolverine like punches him in the face, and then all of a sudden he's like running across like a rooftop again to jump down on Wolverine to fight him. Everything was so confusing.
That whole alleyway scene where you had Wolverine, Gambit, Sabretooth, and Will.i.am,
yeah.
who is now just called Will.i.am, I think. Yep. like, there was just like, that had the opportunity to be like a really big showdown between definitely. Some of those characters, and it was just a bit of a flashy Kane over here. Mm. Will.i.am getting his spine grabbed here.
Oh, that was sweet!
The spine grab.
Yeah! It made me, if that had been done now, with CGI, that would look great.
And also with someone who could act.
Yeah.
Would also be great.
If I wasn't like, it's Will.i.am.
Let the beat rock.
It's just so Will.i.am, do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those faces that it's no matter what he is in what he's in, he's not going to be...
He won't ever disappear into a character, will
no,
he?
No, you could never say, oh, it's Robert Downey Jr., but it's Tony Stark. Yeah. You know what I mean? You would never believe that he's anything other than Will.i.am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, oh, and when Wolverine's being like a blender to the fire escape, that is so strange. When he's just hacking away at the bottom of the...
That whole alleyway scene can just...
Everything there is like blurry to me.
And then
it's like, toot toot, get in my plane. I'm Gambit and I can drive a plane. I'm like, what is... Like, why are you on... Honestly, like, Gambit was just such a miss in this film. It's like... Oh, well, you've just punched me in the face, but I'm gonna
now
drive you to Stryker's lab.
And Wolverine was like not that upset that Gambit had kept, like, he had Sabretooth, like, he had him cold, and then Gambit's the one who effed that up for him, and he was just like, no, whatever, I'll get him some other time.
Yeah, like, none of that section made any logical sense. That was the bit that they were trying to write, I think.
Yeah, no doubt.
After filming had started.
They had to figure out how to get these characters together. How to get together. Gambit
in. There was there's a half an hour hole in the middle of this movie. What can we fill it with?
Yeah.
Mm. Bring Will.i.am and Blob back. That's fine.
I feel like this was kind of my real issue with this film as well, where I felt like they were kind of doing things for fan service reasons, but with no understanding of who the fans were. And that's why I think Remy was a miss, the Deadpool issue. And I really felt that when I was seeing those characters like interact. Because like they've got Wolverine like nailed. Like Hugh Jackman like is Wolverine, and then everyone else was just like.
And I think you could say that about all of these films we've watched so far. Like they've cracked Wolverine.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just vaguely fine. And that I always think that's why I don't look back on these films that fondly, because I was never that bothered about... He was never my favourite X-Man. So like to have six films where he's like centre stage is a bit much.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. The end.
Okay.
Right.
Last. Final bit. Third act.
There's another woman.
Yay! Held in a cage. And then getting directed by blind Scott Summer. I don't know who you are, but I'll believe you. Like, how do you know where you're going? I just know.
Oh my god,
so weird.
But I mean, yeah. Let's not get that far ahead.
Okay.
So, Wolverine goes to fight Stryker. Mm. Stryker's been doing experimenting on mutants.
The pool.
Deadpool has no hair, and he's.
Controlled by text message.
Controlled.
Like, can we talk about that? Like that.
Text message. So I think that's the Bolt element. That's the Dominic Myrna.
That's interesting.
That's the reverse engineered that.
Yeah.
To
accept key commands.
Yeah.
Fuck me. I didn't really like how his eyes were prized open.
Oh, that was creepy. Can't handle that.
Like, I feel like the first bit of this movie was. It was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were so close to something not terrible.
These movies have such third act problems. Like they, like every single one of them, like the. I mean, okay, X2
anything to do, but just fight scene.
Yeah.
Ugh, God.
I just, the reveal of Silver Fox still being alive. Like at this point, the movie, I was so done with this movie. But there was the one, like Wolverine's reaction to seeing her, like really pulled me back in, because he had this reaction where it almost looked like he was about to be physically sick. Like it wasn't another like screaming rage thing. It just crushed him, like absolutely crushed him. And I was really impressed by that. Like I thought that was a good moment to have going into the third act.
And I thought you could see her. Like, I was frustrated for her as well.
Yeah.
She had the moment of that wavering, didn't she?
That when she wanted to say something, and you could see that she was holding it together just because she wanted to save her sister.
Yeah.
But everything that happens aside from that, and, you know, even the way that she dies at the end. And
So dumb!
The pose that she's dead in is just... If I asked you now to lay on the ground and act dead... You would pull that pose. It's just like, oh, yeah. Like you could have drawn a chalk line around her and been like, someone must have died here.
Yeah. I think it would have been also more poignant if he had just walked like straight by her, like not had a moment with her, just like didn't recognize her. But why is she there? Like I'm that infuriated. I mean, obviously she was there just because she needed to die and have that moment of Wolverine not recognizing her. But like she stays behind for no good reason. How does she even get fatally injured? She just like got a bit squished by the stuff that was falling. I was so mad.
So there is that moment where Wolverine releases all of the caged children.
Oh yes.
Which I quite liked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll never pass up an opportunity to save some kids. That's definitely Wolverine's thing.
I mean, he'll never remember it either. No. Poor Wolverine. Just flashes of okay in this movie. The bit that this gets to is Wolverine and Deadpool, but not Deadpool, with other powers, not played by Ryan Reynolds either, are on top of a cooling tower, and Sabretooth is there as well.
Yeah.
It sounds like a dream. It sounds like I'm trying to recollect a dream. I was on top of a cooling tower and Deadpool, but not Deadpool, was there. Wolverine and Sabretooth were also there and they were kind of fighting each other, but yet Deadpool's also fighting them. But he's got this power that he never used to have before where he can flip, he can teleport.
Yeah.
Which kind of reminds me of that Will.i.am guy in this movie. I'm not sure how that happened. But then, and that's not explained either. There's a lot left to the imagination. And then they're flipping about, but somehow they manage to beat him.
Yeah.
They cut his head off, I guess. And he falls down in a very, like, Darth Maul, Phantom Menace sort of way. Yes. It's like,
very.
But what happens is, as they're falling down, is that Deadpool's new laser eyes, which he got from Cyclops, we're guessing. But
he's still alive.
He's still alive, but the other people that they had to get to use those powers are dead. I still don't know.
Yeah.
But his head is spinning in such a way that it's rotating as the cooling tower, as it's falling down, it's rotating, but it's staying on the same axis, so it's like carving the
spiralizing.
It's spiralizing the cooling tower, which makes no sense because the head would surely just be falling everywhere, but let's not pull that thread. And it falls at a really slow rate as well while it zooms around. You know, I mean, it should just like cut a line in the damn thing, but instead it slowly falls.
What can you say? It looks cooler.
You don't need any more reasoning than that.
Yeah.
And then I'm still in dream state right now.
Yeah.
And then the cooling tower doesn't immediately fall. Like Sabretooth manages to get a few quips in.
Yeah.
And then jumps off.
Yeah.
But he's able to like jump off and get to safety, where Wolverine is like, oh fuck, I didn't think to also jump off. And then he kind of manages to also get off to safety, but he's sorted out when a big cooling tower drops on him, because that Gambit guy from earlier in the movie turns up with a stick and stops it all from collapsing on him by cutting it in
half. And then you've got Uncanny Valley Professor.
Don't even get and then Charles Xavier turns up, but it's not really Charles Xavier. It looks kind of like him.
He's walking for no good reason.
Yeah, for the first 30 seconds, it looks like him. Then it stops looking like
him. It is Charles Xavier.
And then it starts looking like him again, even though it is just him. But it's like they've make-upped him to look younger. But he's Patrick Stewart. He looks young anyway.
I know. He has looked exactly the same for 40 years. Why did they need to CGI him?
In a movie that is, like, not set in the distant past either. You know, it's set maybe 10, 15 years earlier. Like, Patrick Stewart looked 10, 15... Like, he looks the same.
Yeah.
You don't need to do this. And then the lady dies and...
Dan's really upset.
Wake up, Dan. Wake up!
I don't need to shake you.
Oh, I'm awake. God, I dreamt of this terrible movie. It was called X-Men Origins Wolverine. And it's drastic. Oh, my God. Just all of it is shite.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit like, I think this film feels a bit like when it's Christmas Day, you think Monopoly's a good idea. Your dad's got the hotel. You're just like, should we just stop now?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. And the thing that kind of continues to baffle me is, based on the title, obviously they had plans to make other
origin stories. Well, the second one was going to be Magneto.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. But I want to know what your choice would be. Who would you want to see the origins of?
But my question is, would it be origins treated in this way?
No, imagine it'd be like first Avenger treatment. Or...
I want them to do this again. I want a good
no,
Wolverine
I cannot have
origin
another.
Series.
Oh my God, we still got another two to go.
I'm sorry, but the next two Wolverine movies are not terrible.
I've never seen the Wolverine all the way through.
Not terrible.
You say that.
Headline, not terrible.
He's in Japan, right?
It's not terrible.
Okay.
I'd love a Storm origin story.
Yeah.
Like somewhere that isn't Canada.
Yeah.
Would be nice. I always remember in one of the cartoon X-Men, Storm gets kidnapped and she gets put in a sea container.
Ooh.
And the X-Men in the Storm in that version of the X-Men is really kind of claustrophobic and needs to be outdoors and in nature. Mm. And she gets kept in the sea container for the whole episode and she's just freaking out and whirlwinding inside and like you know, like you put a cat in a cat carrier like that. And I think that would be such a great story to hear how she kind of came to be where she is. That'd be my pick.
Storm would be a good one.
And yeah, it'd have a woman in with some agency.
I'd woman agency would be good. But I would be interested in having a Colossus origin story. So it would start in Russia. You'd have that whole a kind of communist upbringing kind of playing into his idea of strength and power and then going over to America and being a part of the X-Men. I'd be quite interested in seeing that.
I don't know. I was thinking Colossus, but I was just going to say the first person that came to my head that wasn't a main X person. I think more these days, now we've had a lot more X-Men fleshed out, I think I'd really like to see, and she was in X-Men 3 and a little bit in X-Men 2, played by someone different, but Kitty Pryde, I think could be really cool. But if it was done in a Guardians of the Galaxy sort of way, recently in the comics there was a Guardians run where she's in a relationship with Star-Lord, and it's just
that's fun,
zany, do you know what I mean? And I think Kitty Pryde done in that way could be really a zany movie. I think it could be a really interesting take on it. But
like the new Star Wars films, which have got a female lead, but with fun.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen Solo as well, Solo's kind of take something traditional that's in the storyline, but I personally thought, make it a bit of a fun, funnish sort of movie.
Yeah.
And, as I said, really that Guardians sort of vibe. Yeah. Loads of colour. That's one thing that these X-Men movies don't have is they all look the same.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they really do. They really, really do.
I don't need any more flying shots over Canada. I'm done. I'm out. No more forest.
Yeah. I think...
Kitty Pryde, that's my vote.
Yeah, very good. I'm really looking forward to, getting through these last Wolverine ones. Very excited about Logan. I'm really looking forward to restarting with First Class, having that be kind of a clean slate. Because I think... For me, the main thing about this one was, I mean, you're absolutely right, Dan. There's absolutely no point in going into the whole Deadpool thing that's been, like, talked to death. But for me, I felt like, as a fan of X-Men, I was done such a disservice. Like, there was no thought or, like, reverence that was going into these characters and the huge fan base that they must have known were anticipating this film, particularly when you say things like, oh, Gambit's going to be in it. Oh, Wade Wilson is in it. Like, that means something.
It's because it's not a superhero film.
Yeah.
It's an action film.
Yeah.
With a few powers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, if that had been, I don't know, I think there was even a way to do that was better than this. And I think at the end of the day, it's just one of those things where it's like, who was this film for? When they sat down and wrote and planned this movie, who did they think was going to be enjoying this? And I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all that the script was not finished when they started filming this. But yeah.
So do you have any final thoughts before we ask the big question?
No, I think we've talked about it enough.
Yeah.
We saw Hugh Jackman's butt.
We did.
Let's all remember that.
Yeah.
Before we cast our butts, whether it stays or goes in existence.
I mean, I reckon it could stay in calendar format.
Yeah, hold on to the special features that Dan was mentioning, but otherwise.
Yeah. So, Anna, for you?
It goes.
Goes.
Absolutely goes.
Martin?
Yeah, it can go. It's fine.
I'm a big fat go for this one, but I tell you what, if you've never seen The Wolverine, right, and if you've fallen asleep during The Wolverine...
Is there a train in it? Does he stop a train? I remember a train.
Sounds like a dream you've had about Wolverine.
Does he get injected with something?
Yes.
Right. That's all I remember. And then, and there's like a there's a lady. There's kind of like a Deathstrike 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like a woman who's got like bangs and mutant powers.
Are you thinking? This is hurting me. Wait, are you thinking of Logan, not the Wolverine?
I don't know, it's been so long since I even tried to watch it, and I fell asleep.
Right, okay, so I think the both of you are in for a treat with all right. The Wolverine.
I'm looking forward to it.
Let me just say, this movie, all X-Men movies so far, and I do think the next few suffer with third act problem.
Yeah.
But the Wolverine, I'm excited to watch it again. I'm excited to talk about it. I'm excited to find out whether it's a Doctor Strange where I go back after a few years and I'm like, oh, fuck, it's shit. Or whether I go back to this and I'm like, actually. Because I've been pleasantly surprised.
Mm.
Last Stand, better than I remember.
Yep.
The Wolverine, it was going somewhere until it went nowhere. But
I'm ready for a film that I absolutely despise.
Okay.
Like Last Stand and Wolverine, I felt relatively ambivalent about. I need one that I can like. I need a Hulk.
You won't be outraged.
I need a Hulk.
Okay. Yeah.
Bring it.
Might still be coming. Yeah.
I hope that the Wolverine is that for you for podcast drama purposes. But on a friendship level and personally, I hope you enjoy it.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. So we will be back with the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Is that our next episode?
It is, in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks' Wolverine. Time. And we will be joining you then. Please say subscribe. Please review us, like us. Go follow us over on our Instagram.
A marvelous lunch break.
Anna, if anyone wants to find you.
They can get me on Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
Martin, if anyone wants to find you.
Twitter and Instagram, Martin Loves.
I am at DVM Preston, and thank you very much for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 There was no post-credits, right?
Twas.
Was there?
Yep. There was the kind of mid-credits. I don't know why this was mid-credits one, of Stryker walking as Silver Fox commanded him to.
Oh, yes. Yes,
of course. They stopped him and were like, oh, you're wanted in connection with this guy's murder.
I really like the application of Silver Fox's power.
Yes, in that circumstance. Was cool.
Just like, keep walking until Your feet
yeah,
bleed.
And then keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, that's such an indefinite instruction.
Yeah, how, it was good.
I thought that was really interesting.
But yeah, like there was nothing. They were like, oh, you're wanted and questioning for this murder. And he like has this horrible look on his face. It's like, we know he's fine. He's a general.
Yeah.
The next time we see him. So there's that one. And then all the way at the end, decapitated head.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, why, when he uses the eyes, does he have to get the black, like, diamonds around his eyes, like, to emphasize, we know it's Deadpool.
Yeah.
We know we're ruining it. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like...
So just, his eyes open, his hands reaching for his head, and he just goes, shh.
Yeah.
Which is very, like... Ah! I hate... No.
Well, yeah. On that note, should we go home? Is it time?
It's time.
I'm ready.
Bye.
Bye.
Please come back. Bye.